This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Aha!
And good morning.
Good morning to you. For those of you who do not have a viewing device here to watch us here as we broadcast on The Garden
Live
Show.
Live and direct.
I'm delivering a $10 bill to Charlie.
Wow, thank
right
you.
There you go.
Thank you.
And that's for...
That's on camera.
That's for...
We have witnesses.
Okay. Just before we hit the airwaves, Charlie showed me what she has been working on to aid her little feral cat that she's adopted.
Well, he adopted us. It's kind of a co-adoption. Yeah. This is a number of years ago.
Okay.
We named him Mr. Kitty because he was so obviously a boy, unneutered boy. And slowly but surely, he just started to trust us, and you know, slowly but surely he would stay in the backyard if we were back there. But you know, winter came and I built him a little house, and he spent three winters outside. I eventually, my son got a little electric heated house, so you know, that went on a number of years. He got more and more comfortable with us, but then when it got really cold, he started coming in a bit. Slowly but surely, more and more comfortable. Our cat kind of adopted him. He kind of adopted our cat as well. So yeah, he's been a real project, this Mr. Kitty.
But he's not in the best of health.
He is not.
No.
He's lived on the lam for too many years. So, we did have him neutered. He did develop diabetes. So I give him insulin twice a day, but his teeth are rotting.
Oh, boy.
So we started a GoFundMe page to try and raise some money to try and get his teeth fixed. Because it's so expensive. Pet dental work. Because it's, you know, not only the vet who is going to be the surgeon, the dental surgeon, but then you've got a second anesthetist available on hand.
Yeah.
So it's quite a big deal to do that, any kind of mouth work on animals. So
how can folks find?
Well, so with my daughter's help, we did launch this page. So it's under GoFundMe.com.
Okay.
And you search. And just search for Mr. Kitty, spelled right out as M-I-S-T-E-R, Mr. Kitty, K-I-T-T-Y. And you'll see him. He's an orange cat. He's a real sweetheart. And, you know, we love him to death, but he's not in good health with the teeth rotting away.
And as you say, it can be damned expensive.
I mean, we're hoping to raise...
You can only be so kind, so long.
That's right.
Know.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Putting out for neutering and for insulin twice a day is enough. So thank you for the donation.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Add that to the pot. And happy for any donations anybody can make. So
that's true.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Frank.
Okay. And I should have mentioned right off the top, this is The Garden Show.
But, you know, pets and gardens do go together.
That's right.
We know that.
That's right. Okay. And my job here as the sous chef of the garden is to give out the phone numbers, which I better do right now.
Yep.
In Toronto, call 416-360-0740. Anywhere else in the province, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, please let Sebastian know, because he will
let us
advise
know.
Me, and that little ringing of the bell will welcome you.
And give you your garden wings.
You got it. Okay.
And the mantra?
Oh, yeah. Call early, call often. One question per call.
Because sometimes people are shy, and they wait till the end of the show.
That's right.
And then we don't get you on. So if you let's keep those calls coming, because we'd love to hear what's going on. Tips, tricks, questions.
Yeah. I want a tip about talking to the weatherman and getting up those temps.
I know, and I want to get my students outside. I'm teaching soil science, and of course the students want to get out there and get in the dirt.
Yeah.
We've been playing with a lot of soil in the lab, but I want to get out there and do some digging. And I was, you know, like you're saying, it's spring, I'm planning to get them outside, but we'll see what happens this week. If it's all frozen solid, we can't do anything.
A big shout out before we do anything else.
Yes.
To Stanley.
Oh, definitely.
A gentleman who is waiting patiently at that front door
with surprise.
Some wonderful flowers for both of us.
Yeah, a couple of pots of tulips and a couple of pots of blooming hyacinths. So thank you, Stanley. You're such a sweetheart, and what a beautiful surprise on the first Saturday of spring.
You got it. Okay. We're up to our first break, which we'll take here as we broadcast live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village on this beautiful looking Saturday morning. And we'll be back to say hi to Jerry, who's calling in from Waterford next. here on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor, here. Jerry in Waterford, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
I have a hedge, a cedar hedge across the back of my property that is now coming up to being 4 years planted. Mm-hmm. And I would like to know when is the appropriate time to trim it, because this year I want to give it a haircut. Right. I don't want it to get too tall.
Smart. Don't leave anything too long. Mm-hmm. So certainly it's time. This is the year to get shearing, because you want it to be nice and full and dense. And, you know, the reason we usually put in a cedar hedge is for privacy. And it also provides wonderful shelter for wildlife, birds, mm-hmm. etc. on cold winter days. So the time to be shearing it is when it is actively growing. Hard to say when that's going to be, when it's still minus six outside, yeah. But usually it's late May, or might even be where you are, middle of mm-hmm. June. So you're going to see the new growth, that new flush of growth. It's going to be that bright green tips are going to start showing up. And that's the time to get out the long-handled shears. And remember, when you do the trimming, you might want to take some off the top. I'm sure you're going to want to take some off the sides.
Yes,
but at the end of the day, it should be wider at the bottom than it is at the top.
Wider at the bottom than at the top.
That's
okay.
Right. Yeah, so just.
And you prefer the hand shears over an electric.
I do. Just because.
Yeah? Okay.
Well, you know why? Because hand shears make a clean cut.
Okay.
The electric shears, they kind of choose through.
Oh, I see.
And you end up with some really ragged cuts, pruning cuts. And
got
of course, they do not heal well. So sometimes if it's a huge, big hedge, it's more efficient to just kind of zing down with the hedge trimmer, but then go back with your hand prune and do some cleaning up of any ragged cuts.
No, this is a young hedge, so I will go at it with the hand shears.
Yeah, I would. And you want the long-handled ones. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to go in there with your little short pruners.
And is it no. most hardware stores or gardens, do they provide sharpening services?
I have them. I have them.
Good.
Okay.
Good. And yeah, sharp is important too. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? Yeah, I sharpen my own, but you can get them sharpened. There are like small engine shops that sharpen lawnmower blades, etc.
What do you sharpen them with when you sharpen them yourself, Charlie?
Well, I have a steel that I use. I used to use a stone, but the stone wore out. So because they do, you know, they do wear out. So I got a steel, and I got it from Lee Valley Tools. It's a cool little tool. It just kind of folds up in small little package, but unfold it, and then, you just run it down the beveled side of the blade.
Very good.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, both
thank
of you.
You,
oh, thank you
too.
Very
thanks
much,
for
Jerry.
Calling.
Appreciate that. Let's take a little drive to Hamilton, huh?
Sure.
On the QEW. There we are. And there's Betty.
That's
a first-time caller, by the way. Wait a minute.
Good morning. How are you?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. You mentioned last week there was a product to deter squirrels or animals.
Small critters.
Right. And my son has an issue. Mm. They're chewing the wood on his deck, and he's tried everything to deter them, but they're very determined.
Wow. And I wonder who's doing that. Maybe skunks?
I don't know. He seems... Do you think it's skunks?
Well, who else chews wood? What does he think it is?
Pardon me?
What does he think is doing the chewing?
Well, he thought it was squirrels.
Could be. And it's chewing for sure. It's not like a woodpecker or something.
No, he says it's chewing for sure.
Huh. Well, isn't that wild?
That's pretty. Yeah, well, any of those things. But you know what I would recommend? And I did mention it last week. It is a repellent. It was designed to repel elk in, Finland or someplace.
Right.
It is a repellent of deer, rabbits, voles, and all kinds of small critters. Completely organic, effective for up to 6 months. Mm-hmm. It is called Plant Skid. So it's the word plant, P-L-A-N-T, mm-hmm. and then S as in Sam, mm-hmm. K as in kite, Y as in yellow, and then two D's, D as in dog, D as in dog. So Plant Skid.
And it's available at a garden center.
It is. I've seen it available at Terra Greenhouses, and you're in the Hamilton area, so for sure they have it. Mm-hmm. But I think you may even find it at a Home Depot or Canadian Tire.
And you think it might be woodpeckers?
I have seen woodpeckers' nests, the big ones. It's those pilonidal, or not, whatever they're called.
Pileated.
Pileated, thank you. Woodpeckers who, they will destroy wooden window frames.
Wow.
Yeah, I know she, my daughter-in-law tends to feed the birds and so forth, because they have red cardinals right now that she's feeding, and they will actually dive into the window.
I know. Yeah, and so, you know what's nice there is get little decals for the window. And they don't have to be you can do the hawk decal, and then the birds won't fly into the window. But all I got was, it's actually spider webs. It's a spider web decal, and the birds don't want to fly into the spider web, so they veer off at the last second. So,
I think they're mad because they want to be fed.
Well, they did. Yeah, there's that. But they also don't recognize it's a window. Like, they don't, they just think it's another bird.
That's
so and you hate that banging into the window, and then there are feathers all over the place, and they couldn't really hurt themselves, too.
Exactly.
So, well, I just, woodpecker came to mind because I know woodpeckers will go after wood if they somehow believe there's something alive in that wood. They'll go after it. But do try this plant skid, or get your son to try it and see how it works out. Let us know.
Well, thank you very much. I certainly will.
Thanks, you.
Betty.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Don't be a stranger. Doors always open here.
You know it.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Okay, when we come back, maybe I'd like to mention something special that happened.
I know.
Earlier this week, it turned out to be quite a success.
Excellent.
We'll
you are
that.
Such a good planner.
Oh, I tell you. Anyway, we'll be back with the details on that little surprise in just a couple
literally.
Of moments. Literally, yeah. Here we are, The Garden Show, Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin. Behind the mic and behind all the great advice, too.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And to our listener in Haldeman County, is that Anne with an E?
That's right, Anne
hey,
with an E.
Good stuff.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What's going on?
I'm calling to say I'd like to plant some more evergreens, but I want something that's going to last really well, long-lived, and will survive in the horrible Haldeman clay.
Well, what evergreens have you got growing there now?
I have Austrian pines, but they're kind of gradually going.
Yeah,
and I called you once before about them, wondering if maybe the fertilizer from the farms around us was doing it. You didn't think so. You thought they had lived their lifespan.
Yeah, they are a short-lived plant, and they are susceptible to many diseases. So don't be planting any more Austrian pines.
Right.
So you're looking for tall, like they grow like a big tall pine?
I'm very open because I have lots of room here. I have 1.5 acres.
Nice. So, and of course, evergreens are so perfect if you've got a side of your yard that's on the northwest side of your home. Now, you don't do any planting close to the home, but blocking that northwest wind in the winter is an excellent way to save on heating costs.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. And you know what comes to my mind? Fast-growing, long-lived Norway spruce.
Norway spruce?
Yeah, fast-growing, long-lived, and tall. Of course, everybody loves the Colorado blue spruce.
Yeah,
which, I know.
Gives you that, it's not as fast-growing as the Norway.
Right.
But the spruces will do reasonably well in a clay soil.
Okay.
A native evergreen would be a hemlock, and hemlocks are pretty amenable. They don't like being in super wet spots, so if you've got they'll handle the clay. They just want to sit in a soggy spot. But hemlock is a native plant, lovely. And again, soft, needled, gets very tall, and can be pruned, et cetera, to make it more dense if it's not, at first, if it's all a bit open and you want to make it a more dense plant, you can do shearing on hemlocks, no problem.
Okay, that sounds good because I have no shelter from the wind in any direction because the farms around me are all set back from the road. So I'm like an island.
Right.
No matter which way the wind comes from, I get it.
Right. So, it's absolutely a great idea for you. You're a perfect candidate for getting whatever number, 2, 3, 4, 5 evergreens. They don't have to be big now. You can get them, meter tall if you want, affordable price. Make sure you're planting them well away from the house because ultimately these plants are going to be 40 feet tall and 20 feet wide. So recognize they have to be planted far from each other as well. So they'll grow up as a clump, as a stand of evergreens along that sort of northwest quadrant, because that's your prevailing wind, and that's the cold wind in the winter. On the south side of your house, on the other hand, if you can get yourself a nice deciduous tree, like a sugar maple, a ginkgo, I love my katsura tree, something that's going to grow up quite quickly and give you shade in the summer, again, keeping your home cooler by shading it in the summer, but then the leaves drop in the fall and the sun gets through in the winter, so you've got the warm sun in the winter warming your house, but you've got the cool shade in the summer cooling your house. So the south side of the house, deciduous, northwest side, evergreen.
Now, on the south side of my property, I have the septic tank and the weeping tile.
Right. So you have to, you know where that is, and you have to stay.
Yeah.
No trees go on top of, obviously. Though you can go just beyond the weeping tile, typically with trees. You just don't plant over top of the tile.
The roots won't stretch out to the weeping tile.
They will, but what's coming out of the weeping tile is supposed to be water, so they're just going to take the water. You know, it's not, you just don't want them, you know, don't be planting willow or a poplar or something like that.
I knew not to do that living in the north.
Yeah, so that just because the roots are so vigorous that they will end up climbing, you know, growing right into the tile. But, yeah, I mean, I'd have to double check exactly what the rules are on distance from edge of tile to trees. But as far as I know, generally speaking, as long as you're not on the tile, you're fine. You're just outside beyond.
Hey, this is great. I won't start planting next week, but maybe the week after.
Fingers crossed. I'm hoping for the same, that we're all thawed and ready to go.
Laughing out loud. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Ann.
Thank you very much. Charlie, we're going to take a little trip to Oshawa right now. And there's Philip. Good morning, Philip. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Yeah, you had a lady on with cedars. I have a really quick tip.
Yeah.
Years ago, a neighbor bought a horticultural, you know, emerald cedars. And I have a great big hedge of eastern white cedars. Well, his started to turn brown, and then mine started to. And then I found out it was eastern white cedar borers in the leaves. And I went to a garden center, and they had some experts there that day. They said this, you can't buy anything now. Anyhow, what I found is if you, about June the 20th here, the little moths come out.
Right.
Now, if you spend a week spraying your cedars with soapy water
to kill the moths,
you can wipe them out.
Right.
And it's you know, it's not very, it's easy to do, not that harmful. And it could, because they seem to be spreading everywhere. So anyhow, just a tip, the lady that had the cedars, they often look ratty because they have, if you open up the leaves, you'll see the tiny little caterpillars inside the leaves.
And you'll see tunnels. If you don't see the little larvae, you'll see that the stem, but it's in the tips, like you said.
Yeah, where you pull off the little brown piece.
Yeah.
You see a little. But anyhow, I found it really effective. All the cedars recovered.
That's great, yeah. And the soap works for sure. And you were obviously spraying
just
adults.
I just use, you know, any old palm olive or whatever dish soap.
Really?
In a hose end sprayer.
Right. Yeah, and you got a thorough coverage of the insect.
Would you suggest safer soap?
A soap is better than a detergent, technically, to kill the insects. But the main thing is you kept them from laying
eggs.
You
know what? It works fine.
Yeah.
I've got like 120 feet of cedars.
Yeah,
that were great.
Good tip.
Okie dokie.
Thanks for calling. I hope Pat is listening.
All right.
But you know what? Just flashed on this. You handed me $10. And I flashed that I had received some money in the mail on behalf of Mr. Kitty and his needs, his health requirements. So as I mentioned earlier, we do have a GoFundMe set up now, campaign under the name Mr. Kitty, M-I-S-T-E-R Kitty, out of Richmond Hill. But I received this letter and I never actually responded or thanked. It's Dorothy Beaver sent this letter from Welland, Ontario, a year ago. I mean, this is from last March.
This has been in the bottom of your purse for a year.
Well, my bad. I have a lot of stuff in that bag. Uh-oh. But I remember it was there. So the letter starts, "Good morning, Charlie and Frank. We do so look forward to Saturday mornings to listen to the garden show, sometimes over breakfast, sometimes in a parking lot waiting for your response to some very interesting questions. I now have a few of my own." So this is the old take advantage of the opportunity, that is, you're not stuck on one question when you write the letters. Number one, are there any benefits saving water from the dehumidifier all summer long? If so, would you suggest that we pour that water onto our fruit trees or the flowers or the vegetable garden? And the answer is absolutely yes.
Yeah, great.
Absolutely.
Question.
It's a great place to get water from. I mean, why dump it down the drain? Mm-hmm. There is nothing wrong with it. It's perfect water. It's better, actually, than tap water. It's got no, you know, additives at all. So for sure, save your dehumidifier water, pour it out on the garden wherever there's a plant in need of watering. Mm-hmm. When I had an aquarium, I used to do that too. I would, you know, you're always kind of constantly changing up aquarium
right,
water.
Yeah.
Excellent water to go out onto the garden. Question number two. Where would you suggest sprinkling stale boxes of baking soda from inside the fridges and freezers? Right? Because you know how we put baking soda to absorb odors.
Yep.
And then, you know, a month later, 2 months later, we change it up. Baking soda is not going to do any harm in the garden. Typically, people will use baking soda as a way to try and prevent fungal diseases. But you know what's interesting? Because then the third question, and maybe this relates in a sense, number three question is, my grandson loves to poke mushrooms from our front lawn. Is this airborne powder harmful, which are the spores, right?
Yeah.
The little poof of spores, microscopic. And why do we have them? They are very messy and unattractive. Put your baking powder get your grandson after he's knocked those. So the way it works, fungus mushrooms, as we know them, grows on dead stuff. So somewhere under your lawn, there's something dead. Likely you had a tree, the tree died.
Log under there.
You took the tree. No, there's probably roots.
Yeah.
There's roots under there from a tree that was taken down at some point, and those roots are slowly but surely decomposing. The slow process is being done by fungus. So, what a fungus does is it pokes up those little toadstools, you know, the little things that poke up above ground, strictly for the purposes of dispersing spores to grow more mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Underground is what's really going on, and that's hypha. That's the little thread-like white mycelium that are actually decomposing whatever's down there. So if you want to try and eliminate those ugly toadstools coming up, get that grandson out there. My son used to do this with a golf club. And you go early in the morning before they open. Because when they come up, they're closed. As the sun rises and day starts, they open and disperse the spores. So try and get them knocked down early before they open. If your grandson's willing, get them to actually pick them up and, you know, throw them in the bush or put them in the, you know, the garbage, whatever. And then sprinkle some of that baking soda right where those toadstools were. And that will slow down the growing above ground. Otherwise, don't worry about it. There's nothing you can do. Eventually, the fungus will get done decomposing, whatever it's decomposing, and they'll stop growing up above the ground.
Okay. Looking at our monitor here, I see that Anne is waiting. Oops, I'm sorry.
I just realized I didn't quite finish that.
Sorry.
Sorry. I know, I'm rambling on here, but Dorothy did, in this letter, enclose $5 towards Mass. So I just want to say a big thank you. You started the fund, and now hopefully we will carry on with the fund and get his teeth fixed.
You got it. Okay. Now, back to that caller online.
Yes.
Anne, good morning from Toronto, just around the corner maybe. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, good morning.
You know, I have the same problem. I have three feral cats.
Oh, my, yeah.
And one of them needs the teeth, too. But, but what do you do? Mm-hmm. I don't know. By the way, the reason I'm calling is I wonder about why all the companies have changed their formulations for fertilizer. I find it extremely confusing, very inconsistent, because it used to be so simple. I used to use 20-20-20, and everything grew like crazy.
Mm.
And now you have to buy it for this particular. And they're not even consistent.
I know.
Because I know one company, I went to Home Depot last year, and they showed me this formulation for vegetables that was in a powder form, but you have to dissolve it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed me one that was liquid form for tomatoes, and it was a totally different number combination.
Right. Made by two different companies, likely.
No, same company.
Oh, my.
Huh. Exact same company for tomatoes.
Yeah.
Totally different formulations.
Okay, so you know why they're doing that. They want you, the hobby gardener, to believe that you need to have a special fertilizer for every single plant that you own. And it works to some extent. So you'll have tomato food, you'll have clematis food, you'll have evergreen food, you'll have petunia food. I mean, the African violet food. They want you to own, you know, 400 different packages of fertilizer.
Yeah.
What I teach my students, and the 2020 is out there. It just might not be under the numbers 20. Because 2020 is exactly the same as 10-10-10, which is exactly the same as 7-7-7. So it's just, it's a purely, totally balanced fertilizer.
Yeah.
So if, you know, get a hold of something like that, you're good to go if that's what you prefer. You like that totally balanced fertilizer.
Yeah.
What I tell my students is the three numbers represent nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Mm-hmm. So NPK are what those three numbers are representing. So when it's a 20-20-20, it means that you've got a balanced fertilizer. You're giving the same quantity of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium at one time to all your plants when you're fertilizing. However, that's not my favorite way to do it. It depends what I'm growing. If I'm growing something that I want to flower, so that could be my petunias, it could be my clematis, and it could be my tomatoes, because I want my tomatoes to flower too, I will use a flowering plant fertilizer. And all a flowering plant fertilizer is a fertilizer with a slightly higher middle number. So it could be 10, 15, 10. It could be 15, 30, 15. It could be, you know, something, anything where there's that middle number is just a little bit higher than the nitrogen and potassium on either side of the phosphorus. If we are feeding the lawn or evergreens, then we want to put a little more nitrogen. That's the first number. So, cedar feeder, I think, is something like 30, 10, 10. Mm-hmm. Lawn foods are usually things like 21, 7, 7. So again, bigger nitrogen, because we're wanting to encourage green growth. And the easy way to remember what those NPK even grow, like what they encourage to grow, is remember that nitrogen is for above ground, or the green growth above ground. Phosphorus is for flowering and root, encouraging rooting. And potassium is for all-round health. So just remember up, down, all around, and that will tell you nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. So up, down, all around. You're in the store, you're not sure which one to buy. Don't ask anybody. Just say to yourself, what is it I'm trying to encourage? And then buy the fertilizer that will encourage that. I want up growth, I want down growth, or I want all around growth, health.
I figured it was like some kind of marketing gimmick, I was really annoyed.
Yeah, I find it very annoying too. And who's got enough room in their garage for all that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they don't go bad. Remember, fertilizer never goes bad as long as you keep it dry, unadulterated, so to speak. If it's powder, for example, keep it dry. It does not go bad. There's no stale date on fertilizer. So I've got fertilizers I've had for years and years, and I just work away at them.
There you go.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks so much.
Thanks, okay, Ann. Bye-bye. Appreciate the call.
Pardon me. Thank you for joining us. And with that, I look and I see, hey, we've got a first-time caller waiting on the line. Just a minute. That's for Douglas in Oakville. Welcome to the show, Douglas.
Hi,
welcome.
Okay. My question is with regarding fruit trees.
Mm-hmm.
When I purchased my house here in Oakville, I've been here 25 years, and I believe the person planted the tree. This is a pear tree a long time ago, and I used to get lots and lots of pears. And the last 2-3 years, it's gone kind of dormant. There's no pears anymore. So do those trees have like a life expectancy that after, say, 25 years, they won't produce fruit anymore?
No, pears have a longer than 25-year life expectancy. But let's just go back a bit. Does this pear flower in the spring? Do you get?
Well, they do blossom.
Okay. So maybe what's going on is there was another pear in the neighborhood that you were getting some cross-pollination from, because they will not pollinate themselves. Pears and apples prefer pollen from elsewhere.
Well, I have an apple tree now. It's a dwarf apple tree, but it's 40 feet high.
Wow. Something happened there.
A dwarf.
When I bought it, the actual tree was the size of a cigar.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's about the size of a gallon of paint in diameter. Wow. It's massive. Wow.
25 years.
And it gets apples every once in a while, but they have to be crossed. And I have two plum trees, Italian plum, the other one.
Yeah.
And they've killed each other, because you know the fungus they get in those plum trees?
Oh, the black knot. Yeah.
And then you cut one off, and then it drips onto the other one.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Yeah, I know, you're right.
And then I think they're pretty well dead now.
They could.
But you wouldn't kill the pear tree?
No. Well, I mean, so, okay. many people fall in love with the idea of fruit trees because they have this vision of just stepping out in the morning with their bushel basket and filling the basket full of fresh fruit from the backyard. And it's not that easy. Fruit trees are, do take a fair amount of maintenance. So they,
well, I don't spray it or anything.
Well, there is dormant. See, I would be spraying with dormant spray my fruit trees every spring while they're still dormant in an effort to prevent problems.
Yeah.
The black knot that's killed your plums, I would probably take the plums out because that is continuing. It's a fungal disease. It's continuing to spread the spores.
I know, I work on that, and it's when they were first put in there, they were fantastic, but then they get that fungal disease, and I don't know how, but so in the pear tree.
The pear tree, again, has it been pruned at all over the years? Or
no, it's a very small tree, I don't prune it, but what I do is I have landscaping stuff around about 4 feet in diameter, and then I break the soil so the water can get down to the roots.
Okay, good. And so the landscaping, like the fabric, is around the base.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's fine. And do you have mulch on top of the fabric, or?
So give it one more chance.
Well, I would. I would certainly consider, like, if you really want to try and get fruit off this tree, consider calling an arborist to come onto your property. A certified arborist will give you a quote on what it would cost to remove the plums and do some proper pruning on the pear and the apple. And the sooner you do it, the better, because we do all our pruning in late winter on the fruit trees.
Well, the plum trees are about maybe, say, 40 feet away. Do you think they could be giving up spores to the pear tree and hurting it? No,
because that's a very species-specific disease. But the plum, it could be sharing those spores with cherries because they're the same genus. So that's the problem, and other plums. So I would try and get rid of the plums if you can.
Yeah.
But the proper pruning can open up the tree, open up the canopy, gets better light penetration, better air, et cetera, healthier tree, and you might just get some flowering and fruiting.
This pear tree is actually like in the middle of the yard. It's got all kinds of air and all kinds of sun.
Okay, good.
You know, it's not like against the wall like my apple tree.
Yeah, good.
It's 40 feet high.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Something happened with that. You know they're grafted, right, apples? I bet you the graft got lost.
I have to use a 14-foot ladder and then the big thing to trim it. And my neighbor gets more apples off of his side. Because I put it back about 12 feet from the fence.
Right.
I said, that should be enough.
That's great. And for a dwarf,
he's got half the apples on his side.
So
I said, I can't believe that. A dwarf apple tree that's 40
apple
feet high.
Apple cider city in Oakville. That's great.
What a great call, Douglas. Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Don't give up. I wouldn't give up. I'd keep fingers crossed and do what you can to get
the pear tree
happy.
Just on the pear tree alone, can you just trim off a few inches off the branches at the end? The little feeders?
No, generally not. We don't just tip. If you take the tips off, you're going to make a very bushy plant, and you don't really want a bushy plant. It's a real structural thing that really needs to kind of look at each of the branches.
Yeah.
And some are, if you look now, you should see flower buds, just the buds, on your fruit trees.
Maybe an arborist.
Yeah, they should be starting pretty soon,
Mm-hmm.
Just like the maple syrup.
Exactly.
Running,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a spring thing.
Okay.
Thanks for calling,
Thanks,
Douglas.
Indeed.
Don't be a stranger.
Yep.
Okay.
we are up to our next break here, as a matter of fact, and I know that Lorraine is on the line from Cambridge, so we'll come back and have a chat with you very, very shortly here, Lorraine. You are listening to Zoomer Radio, AM 740 and 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto, The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Charlie, let's head out to Cambridge, see what's going on there. Lorraine, good morning. Welcome.
Hi. I've been here 33 years, so longer than that, a flowering crab apple.
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago, it was wonderful. Big, wide and thick and lots of blossoms.
Mm.
The next year, there was hardly anything. No, there was nothing.
Oh.
So I got it trimmed back. And last year was, it was fairly good.
Mm.
Now this year I see longer lateral, two branches that are dead. One was lateral crack, and I would say suckers, but they're on the top of the tree going straight up.
Right. So it wasn't pruned properly, but carry on.
Okay. So now I don't know what it's going to do this year, but So it's the pruning.
It is.
I've never sprayed it. That's another thing.
Yeah, and just similar to our last caller, Douglas, who said he doesn't spray either. It's the dormant spray that's the one that can really make a difference, just because it will help prevent any fungal diseases or insect infestations that can be a problem on any of the fruit trees. Remember, fruit trees, by virtue of producing fruit and all that sugar that is in that fruit, that's running up and down inside the entire plant. It's not just in the fruits. So you do have very tasty plants, and they do tend to be quite attractive to insects and diseases for that reason. Crab apples, similar to the pears and regular apples and plums, are best pruned late winter, early spring, and should be pruned properly for, there's a very specific shape that we choose to prune. Their natural form typically is a kind of a wide canopy, not very tall, and we want them as open as possible to get that, again, that air and sun penetrating. You get those, they're called water spouts when they go straight up. And those are non-flowering when they do that. So those are typically removed, and the pruning is done in such a way to avoid those, you know, encouraging those to grow. And anything dead obviously can be removed at any time. So the dead, the diseased, the damaged on any plant can be removed any time.
Do they have a lifespan? Or I guess they do.
Yeah, they do. Crab apples, you know, they don't last forever. The oldest one I've probably ever seen is maybe 40-ish years old.
Okay.
So they're not a super long-lived tree. You know, like a sugar maple is 150 years. A birch tree, maybe 50 if you're lucky, 35, more like it. And a crab apple would be similar to a birch.
All right, thanks very much.
All right, thanks
so much,
Lorraine, for your call.
Thank you. And here on a sunny Saturday morning, we welcome Eva in from Seaforth, Ontario. Hi, Eva.
Good morning, dear ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, good morning to you.
I would like to ask you, I ran out of time last fall, and I didn't have a chance to fertilize. When do you want me to start fertilizing the grass?
The lawn. Yeah, I did the same thing. Fall fertilizer is the most important of all the fertilizers for the lawn. And I can see it in my lawn now. As the snow has melted, my lawn is quite pale. It's not that bright green.
Yeah, it is. It's like yellow.
Yeah. And if we had got the fall fertilizer on last fall, our lawns would be greener right now. So we blew it, but we won't do that again.
No, not really.
So, you know what? You can get a spring fertilizer on the lawn just about any time. You could put it on today if you want.
Oh, really? That early?
Well, because it's just going to sit there until the conditions are right, until it's warm enough so that the grass can actually use the fertilizer, and we get some liquid rain onto the fertilizer, which will cause it to, you know, become soluble so the plants can actually access it.
Oh, okay.
But the only reason I wouldn't fertilize a lawn or put out even grass seed right now on a lawn would be if it's quite a steep hill, because you're going to get that erosion. The rain will wash it down, so you'll end up with it moving off the lawn, which you don't want. So, but assuming you got a level lawn, you can put it out anytime.
Actually, it's a new lawn. It was put in on last spring, and I put extra soil on it because it looked underneath, it was like a clay or, you know, not nice.
Right.
So I put in at least 2 yards of soil all around the yard.
Good.
And then I just, as I say, you know, I ran out of time, and then I thought, okay, what do I do now?
But that's, if it's that new of a lawn, it'll be fine having missed that fall fertilizer. I wouldn't worry too much about it, because it came with a certain amount of fertilizer in it. It's sod, I assume, right?
Yeah.
You see, yeah. So the sod comes in beautiful and green. It's been well fertilized by the grower, and it's got that topsoil attached, and you put down fresh topsoil. So the fact that you missed fertilizing last fall, I wouldn't worry about it, because it really needs to just get that good first start, get the roots out, do all that sort of important stuff.
So, what are the numbers I have to put down in the fertilizers?
Well, when the new sod went down, did you use any kind of a starter fertilizer? Because there are
no.
Okay, because there are turf starter fertilizers that I think the number's like a 7-21-7, something like that, where the middle number's higher. And again, it's to encourage roots to grow so that the out of the existing new turf mm-hmm. down into your existing soil is what you're trying to make happen there.
Right.
But
right.
I wouldn't worry about that now. Now, let's assume that's happened or it's happening. And then all you're going to do is look for a spring. And, you know, Scott's makes one that people love. It's called Turf Builder. There is one that's got the crabgrass control in it, which is the corn gluten.
That's the one I like to use.
Yeah, here. It's a red bag. So yeah, that one. And that one, if you're going to put that one down, get it, buy it as soon as you can, put it in the garage, and make sure you use it prior to the forsythia being in full bloom. So the yellow forsythia shrubs, once they're in full bloom, that mm-hmm. crabgrass preventer will not work. So that your timing is up until that point to get that fertilizer down.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks,
bye
Eva.
For now.
Have a good day. Enjoy the enjoy the whole darn weekend.
I know. It's look at the day, though. It's gorgeous. It's
a little on the chilly side, but okay.
Well,
all right.
It looks gorgeous.
We have to take another break here, Charlie. But we will be coming back to say hi to Marcia, calling in from Kleinburg, Ontario. So that's coming up next here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, as promised, let's check into what's happening in Kleinburg. There's Marcia. Good morning, Marcia.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a Jantar cedar that has been wrapped in burlap all winter. When would be the best time to take the burlap wrap off?
Did you wrap it or somebody wrapped it for you?
Somebody wrapped it for me.
And was it wrapped to protect it from salt?
No, I wrap it to protect it from burn.
Okay, so gets that wind or sun in the winter, and
yes.
You're trying to protect it from that. So it's in the ground, right? It's not in a pot?
Correct.
Wait until the ground is a little more thawed, because the wrapping is still doing its job. We are, like a day like today, where the sun is beating down on our evergreens, and our evergreens are still planted into frozen earth. They're losing liquid out of their leaves, but they're not able to absorb any liquid through their roots, because the liquid is all frozen solid still.
Right.
So that'll be, now if we get to the 6 degrees we're supposed to get to today and the 8 or 10 tomorrow, that's going to make a real difference. So you may find that by this time next weekend, it'll be time to take the wrap off, but I wouldn't rush it. Because we do have some below zero nights still coming and probably some sunny days still coming. And that protection is still required.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Excellent. Thanks for calling.
Thank you,
Marcia. All righty.
It's like roses, right?
Yeah.
When people will often hill their roses, they'll mm-hmm. use just a loose topsoil or whatever and put that hill over the rose, mounded around over the crown of the roses in the fall. And then the question is, when do I take that all away in the spring? And the answer is, you can start taking it away on nice days, but don't take it very far.
Yeah.
You may
yeah.
have to remount if we get, you know, snow. Last year we had a snowstorm in middle of April.
Yeah, that's right.
I have pictures on my phone. It was not pretty.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's okay to recognize that those protections can slowly come away, but keep them handy in case you need to reprotect.
This has been one tough winter. I mean, as far as cold and snow and ice and oh my gosh.
I know. I normally barbecue all the time, mm-hmm. year round, multi times a week.
Yep.
But I went for a period there in January, February where I don't think I barbecued once. And you know why? Because my back patio was a skating rink.
Yeah, that's right.
It was solid ice.
You step out there and whoosh,
yeah,
next
I was
thing
like,
you know,
I am not risking my life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it wasn't until we finally got some warm weather, like in the last week, that I now have a patio back. But it has been solid ice up until then.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I went back out and started barbecuing again. But yeah, no, you're right. I've never had that happen where it just, you know, it was that thick and it was that sort of permanent for so long. So we had really prolonged cold, which from a garden's perspective is a good thing. We don't like it when it blips up and down.
You know,
warm,
static.
Let's go dormant and stay dormant. Let's not go dormant and then have some hot weather and then get cold again.
That was last year, I think.
Yeah, ups and downs and ups and downs. And that is hard on the plants because they're like, what's going on? You know, they're starting to grow. You know, even our bulbs are poised, ready for some warm weather to get growing. And then people worry because they start to pop up and then the snow starts falling, which is what happened last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my. Anyway, I'll be so darn glad. And now it comes to mind, when do I get them to take my snow tires off?
My question, too, because I have snow tires for the first time in 25 years.
You know, the guys to ask are right
behind
us. I was
going to say, they're right there.
Yeah, Dave's Corner Garage.
Behind the mic.
Glenn Allen. I always take my car for servicing at Glenn Allen Motors.
Yes.
And they put on and take off the tires, so they'll know.
Because Alan Gelman and his brother are the best.
You got it.
And not to mention Dave Redinger. He's also pretty good. I know. I said you were pretty smart earlier, and you didn't like that either. You know, pretty is a nice word. Bottom line is, I don't know. I have no idea. So let me know when you know when to take snow tires off.
Well, my car is actually due for servicing about 1,000 kilometers.
Oh, to go. Mine's due now.
I can run it till then.
Oh, so
I'm
my
pretty
problem.
Sure.
Could I? Do you think? I mean, mine's due now. My oil light is blinking at me, saying, "Change me." So
I think you're getting a shame on you from the guys next door here.
Maybe,
I'm telling you.
Maybe.
Well, Charlie, hey, we've had some really interesting questions.
Good
this
calls.
Morning, for sure.
Keep them coming.
And I hope that the folks out there will be tuning in tomorrow evening from 7 through till, let's see. to 11.
11?
No, 4 hours of
really?
Big band Sunday music.
I didn't know it was such a long show.
It is.
That's quite a shift for you.
It is. And I'm looking forward to that. And, of course, Theater of the Mind, which comes up Monday to Friday.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. And then you're on again this afternoon.
Yeah,
it's all about Frank. This is the Frank station. So you're on at what, 1:30 today?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
1 to 3:30.
With what's hot in the city or something.
Live in the city. Way to go there. You're almost accurate.
I'm only pretty smart.
Have a good day, Charlie.
Thank you. Thank you. And just one more plug for the GoFundMe page on behalf of my feral cat, Mr. Kitty, M-I-S-T-E-R Kitty. He really needs his teeth looked after. And if anybody can spare a quarter, it'd make a huge difference.
Okay.
Thanks a bunch, Frank. Thanks a lot, Sebastian. Couldn't do it without you. And great callers. So looking forward to more great calls next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.